from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Speaking of disagreements, there are disagreements in our scriptures, in our stories of the people of God working together. These disagreements come across through the stories that we read to one another, through the stories that we call sacred. Sometimes when people talk about disagreements or when somebody got angry, they'll point to Jesus and they'll say, well, even Jesus got angry. Even Jesus had that incident in the temple where he tipped over the tables of the money changers and threw out the people who were selling doves and other animals for sacrifice. Jesus came in with a whip and with cords and scattered them all and told them to get out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace. People find comfort, I think, in knowing that even Jesus could get angry and could disagree with people from time to time. This is a good example of when Jesus had something strong to say to the people around him, using words that were probably of an elevated decibel level, right? Maybe even making people feel a little uncomfortable. But it's not the only time. In fact, in today's gospel reading, in the context of a sermon that Jesus is giving, I think perhaps like he has today in our hearing of it, made us to squirm a little bit, made us to wonder, is Jesus talking about me? Is Jesus convicting me of my insecurities and my imperfections and the way in which I have not perhaps lived up to the way that God has called me to live? Jesus uses this refrain, you have heard it was said, but I say to you. It's a way of getting under our skin, helping us to not just let these words flow over us as grand platitudes, but to get inside of us, maybe even transform us. Jesus talks about things like murder. He says, you've heard it said, don't murder, don't kill people, don't do that to people. But I say to you, don't even be angry at one another. Don't let that anger overcome you, for if you do, you have committed the same kind of sin. Jesus says, don't commit adultery, but Jesus also says, don't even think about it. Don't even let those thoughts be part of how you live your day-to-day life. Jesus says, cut out your eye. Cut off your hand if it causes you to sin. Jesus is forcing us to sit up and listen. Quit looking at our bulletins and, oh, when's the sermon going to be done? And so we got to sing that song? Oh, my gosh. You know, what'd you say, Jesus? Cut it off? Pluck it out? I'm listening. Jesus says, don't swear falsely, but even also says, don't make oaths at all. Be the kind of person that can say yes or no and live in that kind of righteousness. It's enough for us to just throw up our hands and say, who can do this? Who can fulfill this measure of fulfilling the law? The trouble comes because I think when we think about law, whether it's ancient law of the biblical times or even today's law, we're often faced with questions of right and wrong, good or bad, who's in, who's out. We've drawn the line and now we're going to decide who's on the good side and who's on the going to jail side. And we assume that there should be a way of determining who's on either side of that line. Trouble is, we make enforcement priority number one. And that's not a bad thing. We've all been out on the streets, driving down the lanes, staying in our own lane, and assuming, hoping, trusting that others do the same. And if they don't, and when they don't, we put our trust in city officials, in courtrooms and judges, to be able to make those determinations for us and with us. So these are good things to think about when we consider the laws and the rules and the way in which we have been called to live. But I think there's another way, at least an additional way, of looking at the law. The Pueblo Indians of the Southwest and many other Native cultures have a wonderful tradition of creating images of what they call the storyteller doll. They're usually pottery or woven images that look like a person telling the story and a bunch of people gathered around, up on their lap, hanging on their shoulders, wanting to hear that story. And the purpose of the storyteller, through the stories that they tell, is to share something of the way in which we live together, something of the law of our lives, but the part of the law that reminds us of who we are, who we belong to, what it is that we have been called to do, what we value, and how we can share with one another. It's never just one storyteller speaking to an empty abyss. It's never even just a storyteller with one listener, but always a community of listeners gathering and sharing and contemplating what it is that we can be, both as individuals, but also as community. Even the laws of the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, as it were, especially as they're repeated in the book of Deuteronomy, come with an understanding of that connection that we have to one another. The laws are given, the commandments are given, and God says through Moses, keep the commandments that your days may be long in the land that I am giving you, that you might have prosperity and length of life, that you may multiply greatly and become the great nation that I have dreamed of you being, that it may go well with you. In fact, our Deuteronomy lesson for today is kind of the antithesis of that. When you haven't done these things, you recognize that things don't go well. You recognize that you cannot live in community when you are fighting with one another and arguing with one another and disagreeing to the point that you refuse to come together as one. Because even that word you in this context and in most of the contexts through the scriptures, it's a plural you. Where's Patsy today? Is Patsy here? Oh, darn it. Because it's a y'all. Amen? It's a y'all, that it may be well with y'all. The plural you, the community, the people gathered, not just for the sake of themselves, but for the sake of one another. And so when Jesus says, you have heard it said, yes, we think, well, we need to follow the law, we need to take care of ourselves and be the best person we can be a good person, and we will receive our reward. Thanks be to God. I'm on my way to heaven. We'll see y'all later if you get there. But it also means, as Jesus says, I have said to you, go beyond the limits of what is good for you. Take care of others. Trust that you are already blessed, that God has blessed you with everything that you have, and as you give it away to others, God's going to fill that thing back up again, and you're going to have again and again continually the goodness and the grace of God to fulfill your life and to sustain you. The law tells us to live fairly with our neighbors, to make good decisions, and to each take care of our own end of the bargain. But Jesus says to us, Jesus teaches a law of generosity that goes beyond being fair, goes beyond what we deserve to give to one another or our responsibilities, but it calls us to give of ourselves until we are empty, until we are parched, until we thirst for the goodness of God in our lives. The law tells us to live kindly and respectfully. It's the kind of stuff that we learn in kindergarten, right? Only, ironically, kindergartners know this stuff better than we're able to teach it. because what Jesus teaches is a law of compassion that overflows with grace, that isn't about winning the race, but about how we can help one another along that path as we give of ourselves over and over again. Yeah, still, we throw up our arms and we say, I don't know if I can live up to that standard. But then we remember that it's only through the cross that we can really hear these words. It's only through the cross and through perhaps the words of Martin Luther in reference to the third article of the Creed, who says, I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus, cannot do the things I need to do, cannot be the person that I ought to be for the sake of my neighbor. Help me, O Lord. Give me strength. The Holy Spirit might come upon me and all of us through the gospel, enlightening us and giving us that which it means to make us holy. This is light in the darkness. This is resurrected life. Life in which we have been set free. Free from the requirements of the law, to go beyond the law and fulfill the goodness of grace, not just for ourselves, but for each other. This is light in the darkness. This is a peace that passes all understanding. This is healing for the world that God loves. Amen.